Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier, and it's been a while since I've spoken to you. I've thought about doing it a lot, but I usually get my great inspirations on walks without any technology with me. But today I thought, there's a lot of interesting astrological stuff coming up, and if I wait until the June solstice, it's going to be way too much to tell you about at once. So what I'd love to do is just begin by saying how important it is right now to spend some time in nature and to spend a few moments each day or even a couple of moments several times throughout the day meditating. I'm going to share with you what I do that I find just so helpful. And what I do is that I imagine and feel roots coming from the base of my spine and going into the center of the earth. Maybe you can do that with me now. And just sending down my hello to the spirit of the earth, Gaia, one of the creator goddesses that created our planet. The creator gods and goddesses live at galactic center. And they create worlds and planets, as the story goes. And when she created the earth, she fell so in love with her creation that she traveled here on a river of light and love and stars and took up residence in the center of our planet, where she exists throughout all creation. And her energy is a green crystal flame. So breathe that green crystal light up through those roots and into your belly. And throughout, exhale through your whole body so that your body is lit up with a beautiful green crystal light. I kind of see it first as a green crystal light and then like this bright light, crystal light, green smoothie juice in my veins, but sparkles of light and crystalline energy. And let's just keep breathing this light in from the center of the earth, spirit of the earth, the goddess herself into our bodies. Exhale throughout your whole body. See that green crystal light repairing, restoring, and regenerating your vitality, your life force, your love flow, connecting you to the heart of the earth herself, right in your body. And then over your head, see a beautiful sun or star, your higher self, your connection to the divine. That has sent its light into your heart, the moment of your birth. But let's breathe that light in through the top of our head, all the way into our heart, feeling that light melting down into our heart. And then exhaling all the way through your body again, this beautiful golden white light, mixing with the green crystal light that's there now. And let's just do this three times, breathing in the golden light into your heart and exhaling all through your body. Breathing in that golden light into your heart and exhaling all through your body and letting it spill out around you for about 3 feet. So you're connected to heaven and earth. Heaven and earth meet within your heart. And just place your hand on your heart. And on your belly. Feeling these energies within you, nourishing you. Allow them to radiate. Allow the light in your heart to just expand and radiate like a star effortlessly radiating. This only took a few moments. And I promise you, if you do this a couple of times a day or even any part of it, it will help you so much with some of the really wild energy that we're going to be seeing in June and throughout the summer. I know you're like, really? Are you serious? Isn't it wild enough? It's going to peak. It's going to get even stronger. Boy, are we being asked to be patient, aren't we? And to hold space to keep imagining and visualizing the world that we wish to be in and wish to see and keep participating in bringing in beauty into our lives while we're also experiencing this massive, crazy, very, very deeply disturbing elements around the world of every ism we never wanted, you know? And what I'd like to invite you to consider is that we are living in a time, particularly since 2012, where when we started having these pulsations of these really big new frequencies that we've been being asked to align with and live with and bring in that are about unity and love and connection, that everything inside of us that isn't that must be released. And you know what? You know how we do that? We feel it. We feel it. That's how we release it. And so I believe that a lot of what's happening in the world now is just triggering and triggering and triggering. It's like we're vomiting, we're coughing up ancient feelings and, you know, and feeling really powerless to make change. And at this, you know, so that can be really challenging, as you know. And we don't know how long this is going to go on. But I can tell you that what's happening is that Pluto and Saturn are conjunct the South Node in Capricorn. And they've been there. I would say this energy really intensified in January with the eclipse, and then it intensified again in March, and it's just been there. It's just been sitting. These planets have just been really together on the South Node. And so, Lauren, what does that mean? It means that the South Node is our collective past, and Capricorn is power structures. And all of the power structures of our collective past, Pluto, which has been in Capricorn since 2008, has been tracking through Capricorn and dismantling structures that don't work and bringing up the shadow in our own consciousness, in our own lives, in our relationships, in every area of our life, and in our governments, our schools. And as you know, when Pluto entered Capricorn, that's when we had the financial meltdown. Right now, as Pluto is conjunct the South Node, we have this increasing rise of fascism and oligarchism, you know, every ism. And the people in charge that you count on are like, let's just ignore, you know, so, you know, you know what's happening. So Saturn in Capricorn, that started, I believe, in 2000 and around Christmas 2017. But now they're together, and Saturn and Capricorn is like, let's build the new, let's create a lot of pressurization around growing up, seeing inside of us what really needs to grow up and meet these new energies and create, to begin to create some new structures that match some of the shiftings that we've been going through. And let's give it some definition. So in our own lives, we've been asked to move to another level and to really see, what are you building? What are you creating? What do you need to let go of? Choices that you can make. But when Pluto and Saturn are conjunct, as they are now with the South Node, it really is like this chaotic showdown, you know, around massive energies of transformation and change around the structures in our world. And bringing up everything that hasn't worked for a very, very long time and exposing it and, It is associated with tremendous stress. Historically, when these planets come together, there's a lot of stress. There's also a lot of transformation and change. And this summer, these planets are conjunct, and they're the South Node. And, you know, I'll tell you a little bit more when we get to the solstice. But as you know, when we are in the solstice time, the energies increase. It's like, you know, we get this huge download from Galactic Center. Where I began this talk was, you know, the creator gods live at galactics, you know, mythically they live at creative center and they're pulsing this energy. They're creating worlds. And at the solstice and equinox points, the energy, the galactic portal really opens and downloads. So it's just like this river of light flows in and it really amplifies what's ever happening. What's happening is that Pluto and Saturn are conjunct the South Node and what the reason I'm speaking to you now, Mars is in Cancer. It's going to be conjunct the North Node in opposite Pluto and Saturn starting around June 12th. Think of this as putting lighter fuel and lighting a match on what's happening. That's why I wanted to tell you about this and to just say things are going to, the ride's going to get even more wild. And so it's so important that you spend time doing some meditations to ground yourself because a lot of new energy is coming in, rivers of light that we need that, to become the new beings that we're becoming to create the world that we really want to create. And we're also all personally releasing old energy within us that needs to be released so that we have space to anchor this in our cells and in our bodies and our hearts and our organs and our meridians and everywhere. And there's going to be, you know, some events, some more tension, an increasingly amount of tension leading up to the week of the solstice. And then after solstice, we're going to have eclipses in July, I think July 2nd to the 16th. And so, you know, it's going to, and as you know, I'll talk to you about the eclipses. They are going to be in the sign of Cancer and Capricorn. And this is where, you know, the very heart of the matter in our lives, our homes, our roots, our families, you know, our governments, our schools, all aspects of the structure of our lives, how we live our lives. Lots of change, transformation, but also a continuation of the shadow being exposed and this increasing pressurization of Saturn. If we need change, we need change, we need change. And a very large pressurization building up. So that meditation is really helpful. What's also really helpful is just spending time in nature. And what's also happening as Uranus is, in Taurus for the next 7 years, the brilliance of ingenuity of nature is really coming alive. And our ability to communicate with nature and nature to communicate with us is also getting very, very strong. So some things that I would recommend is to go outside and like tone and sing to the earth if you feel like it. Or move and dance. And if that feels like, no, I don't want to do that, maybe just sit with a tree and go into your heart and breathe into the tree and ask, you know, may I feel you? And then let the tree breathe back into you and just have that nice exchange. Another option is just sitting with a tree, asking the tree how it is or how the flower is. You know, when we wake up the energy of, well, we're not waking up anything. All we're doing is saying we're paying attention. And then eventually there's this communication. And just to prove that to you, I will give you two examples of that. One example is Damanhar, which is a spiritual community in the mountains of Italy, has created these very sensitive sound machines that can allow people to actually hear the sounds of plants, and actually plants make music, they sing. And these instruments allow us to hear that. And what they have found is that if you hook up a plant to this, you don't really hear very much. But if you start spending time with that plant and communicating with that plant and honoring the life in that plant and talking and speaking, that plant will eventually start singing. And it sounds amazing. I have gone to a plant concert at just a little tiny potted plant. And they've done experiments where they've done live blood cell analysis, where they've taken people's blood and looked at it before and then after being in a plant concert, and the blood is healed. It's like it gets really vibrant. It gets what you want to see. It gets to look like what people who do live blood cell analysis want to see happen. When I was in that plant concert, I felt my heart, I felt a lot of healing in my heart. Let's put it that way. It was very dramatic. What does it sound like? It sounds like, kind of like electron. I don't know. That's probably not right. It's amazing. But the more we pay attention to the plants, the more they communicate back with us. And you can see that in those sound devices. Also, as you know, I work with Sandra. I teach medicine for the earth, Sandra Ingerman's work. And part of that work is a lot about communicating with nature and meditating with nature. And, that meditation we did at the beginning where at the end I said, now radiate like a star. When we radiate like a star and we just bring the whole world into our energy field, we really do make a difference. For example, what she did was she had a group of people doing that meditation, basically radiating like a star. She put like some dog food from Petco in a hotel room and didn't tell the group of people where the hotel room was, or they weren't even near the hotel room. We were all around the world, actually. And she had a camera, and she took a picture of, or she had one of her associates take a picture of that dog food or Frito or Dorito, and the energy, and that camera could take a picture of the energy field around that. And there was, no energy around it. And then after about 10 minutes of a group of people on a conference call, just being aware that somewhere in some hotel room in Colorado, there was a Dorito sitting there, just bringing it into one's awareness. After 10 minutes of radiating our light, breathing, being a star, imagining yourself radiating like a star. It's really that simple, and just being in that for a few minutes and just not sending anything, not intending anything, just being aware of nature, being aware of the water, being aware of a friend in need, just bringing them into your awareness. What happened that Sandra found was that the light around that Dorito, which was just radio, was just full. It was just beautiful. And she also did this experiment with a rhododendron tree at Findhorn that was sick. And Findhorn also has instruments that measure the life force and vitality of plants, and found after about a 10-minute, 15-minute ceremony of a group of people just being aware of a rhododendron, not sending, not intending, but just all radiating their light, just bringing the rhododendron into the circle, literally, that plant's life force and vitality dramatically increased. And these types of processes are really helpful to do right now. First of all, it's something that we can do. It also fills us. It continually fills us with a connection to Earth and to our own source. And so I would suggest these things. I've been feeding the Earth. I don't know if this appeals to you. I've been kind of getting quinoa and fruits, dried fruits, and I've been doing this meditation that I share with you in the beginning and radiating my light into cornmeal or whatever I've got. And then I bring it out and I feed the earth. And what happens is that I feel the earth just bringing, like just blessing me. The last time I did this, I woke up and I had a terrible liver gallbladder headache. And I literally thought, oh no, I might have to do a liver gallbladder flush. I feel like I might have a gallstone stuck. And I didn't go out intending for any healing to happen for me. But the day before, I had facilitated a medicine for the earth ceremony, and I had a lot of cornmeal that had been blessed, and where a group of people had radiated their light. And I really felt I have to feed the land and sing to the land. And I just went around my property doing that. And I wasn't really thinking about myself. I was just really enjoying this. And I noticed that by the end of it, my gallbladder headache and gallstone stuck or whatever it felt like that was gone and did not come back. One more story that I'd like to share with you about my own experiences, because I hope that by sharing this story with you that, you know, you'll have your own stories. I've asked the land, you know, what do you want? You know, what do you need or want from me, with me? You know, what would be helpful for me to do that would mend or repair our relationship? And the answer that I got back was, we want you to feed us. You know, we really want that. I want you to come out and sing, feed us with your song, feed us with your presence, feed us with your attention or meditation or with food. Want you to notice us. And honestly, I didn't do it very much. And then I did a meditation a few months later. And well, actually what happened was things started breaking in my house. And I made up the story that things were breaking in my house because I had made this promise to the spirit of the land and I didn't do it. And now I was being punished. That's just me, okay? And then I did another journey / meditation a couple months later, and I connected to the spirit of the land. And what I experienced was bolts of love and energy going through my body. And kind of seeing these like fibers of light on my property. And I was being told very clearly, we weren't punishing you. We didn't know how to get your attention. We just didn't know how to get your attention. And we want you to come out here because we want to love you. We want to nourish you. And, you know, we just want to get your attention. So then anyway, the story goes on. But the point is, I have been sharing that story with a bunch of people who've been now doing some interesting work on their own land. And they have some really interesting stories to share. One friend of mine went out and did this, and then a bear came out on her property. She'd never seen a bear on her property, and I think it was in the middle of the day. And also a porcupine. And so again, it was like the land and the spirits were coming out and just saying, hey, we recognize what you're doing, and here we are, we're showing up. And it's really fun to have that experience of magic. So I want you to know that there's a lot of magic afoot right now. There's also a lot of emotion afoot and a lot of frustration in our collective psyche. And if you have planets in your chart between, let's just say, 17 degrees and 24 degrees, Cancer, Capricorn, Libra, or Aries, you are on the front lines of this. And this summer will be particularly impactful for you. Lots of very deep changes, like, you know, almost like surgical changes within you. But we're all going through that. And the medicine for these times is kindness, compassion, love, and patience, and faith. Having faith. Do you remember, if you've been on my, you know, listening to me for a while, I love the story from the Best Marigold Hotel, where the guy says, in the end, everything will be all right. If it is not yet all right, it is not yet the end. And I love that, because that's what we need to keep telling ourselves. We are at the beginning and the end of a 26,000 year cycle. And we're cleaning up. We're, you know, a lot is being exposed, felt, healed, and we're healing it by feeling it. And by feeling it, we're making room for these new frequencies to land in our, on a cellular level. How much longer are we going to need to keep doing this? You know, I don't really know, and nor does anyone else, but we're going to have an eclipse in January 2020. And where Pluto and Saturn and Jupiter will all be conjunct the South Node, and there'll be an eclipse, and there'll be other, you know, massive. And I'm just really hoping or visualizing that at that point, we're really shifting into the next phase where we can really bring in new governments and where a lot of new projects in 2020 are going to really take off and fly beyond the government, you know, just all the different amazing things people have been doing around the world for a long time, really, really rooting down and sprouting and taking off and growing. You know, even if, you know, in the election 2020, we get a brand new, young, amazing government, then we are at the point where we have to really look at what hasn't been dealt with. And of course, we are still going to be dealing with climate change. One little thing I want to say about that is that we don't know what we can do with human invention and nature's combined with nature's ingenuity. We don't know where we can go. We know that if you draw a straight line from where we are today to where we looks like we're going to be 10, 20 years from now with the climate, that it looks really terrifying. But we're not in a straight line. There's a lot of things that can happen that can shift the course of where we are. But in order for that to happen, we need to keep opening up to this new energy, grounding it, and visualizing what we want to see happening in the world, making space for miracles, making space for grace, making space for change to come. That can be unexpected changes. Genius coming through and seeing possibilities that we don't see right now, that we can't see right now, changes that we could make that could make a difference. We want to all be people that can hold that space for possibility in our lives and for the lives of the collective. Anyway, that's all I'd like to share right now. I'll be coming back around the solstice, sharing a bit about that. Keep dreaming the world you want to see into being while taking care of yourselves and while feeling what you need to feel. Think of it as a release. It is a release. Think of it as making space. Think of it as emptying the cup so that something bigger and more beautiful can come in to fill the cup. We've been holding on to a lot of trauma for eons, and we can't take that with us into the next cycle. It needs to be released at the end of this one. And that's, you know, so I want to just give you that perspective. And, oh, I had said that kindness and compassion and patience and trust were part of the medicine, but there's another part of the medicine for these times. And I hope that you are participating in that. Creating fun. Fun is so medicinal. It's so needed to be dropped into our collective cauldron, and it's a basic ingredient we all need, regardless of what else is happening. Make space for fun and love and playfulness when you can. And make space for tears when they arise as well. Oh, one more thing I want to tell you about. I just heard about a new book, and I've been reading it, and I'm loving it, and it's helping me so much. It's called Whatever Arises, Love That by Matt Kahn. And I will also just share one of the basic meditations that he shares, that whatever arises, love that. So if you're feeling miserable, if you're feeling murderous, if you're feeling victim-y, whatever, you're feeling sad, put your hand on your heart and say, I love you. I love you, sadness. There are so many aspects of ourselves that have been waiting for us to love them. And, you know, a lot of us treat, you know, the sad, angry, bitchy, complainy parts of ourselves the same way our parents treated them, which is go away. I want the nice parts. I want the good stuff. Like, you go away. Let me visualize you away. But really, those parts of ourselves just really want our love. So whatever arises, love that. Place your hand on your heart. Whatever comes up, I love you. I love you. I love you, all the yummy stuff, and I love you, all the hard stuff. It's so helpful. It works. If it works and it's helpful, do it. Okay, that's enough. Over and out. Bye-bye.